Well, good morning.
Good morning.
On this warming up today, am I correct?
Hope so.
You hope so? Well, I hope so too. Yesterday, was that not cold? My goodness alive. In March. Now, always when I think about March 1, it's springtime. Now, Dr. Koch, did I hear you say that you're going to Sarasota?
Yes, sir.
All right. We go down just a little bit south of there. We have a church on Boca Grande, right off of Port Charlotte, which is probably, what, 25 miles? 30 miles, maybe? Something like that? Maybe? We're not sure.
We haven't been that way much.
All right. I know on 75 going south, you see Sarasota, you know, the sign to the right, and then next is Port Charlotte, and then we go off the little island there. Anyway, bringing that up, you folks have been so gracious to us. And supporting the college in so many different ways, and then giving scholarship money. We appreciate that so very much. That means a great deal to the school. On that Thursday night, this year we do not have any students graduating. We have one young man that will be finishing up halfway the following year, but we're going to do something, and I want to invite you, because I think it's very special. We have Dr. Gary Beatty from Boca Grande will be up. They, too, have helped us, I think, the last a year and a half in scholarship money. They put about $20,000 in it for us, and we're so grateful for that. But he will be speaking on that Thursday evening, not very long, but we're going to have two of our preacher boys that's going to be preaching for about 10, 15 minutes. And so we want you to come, and we want you to see the product of the school. The product of the school, and the product is not better biscuits and gravy we had out there. It's these young men preaching, giving forth the Word of God, taking the Bible and using it in such an effective way. So we really look forward to that, and I do want to invite you. That is on a Thursday night. Of course, Tuesday night will be the banquet, and Wednesday night is all church rally night, and we look forward to these. All right, if you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And again, if I bend over a lot, it's because of not being able to see. Now, I can see Seth back there. I can see the time back there. Well, maybe. What is it? Just 8:30? Is that correct? We got all the time in the world, do we not, this morning in Sunday school? But again, the problem has developed the last maybe 6-8 months, and they've done injections. I've had 3 sets of injections. I've had the cataracts removed, which they thought, oh, boy, you know, preacher, you're going to be able to see unbelievably. Well, that was not the case. After the cataracts, and then they've done laser surgery inside twice, and then I go back March, and we're going to see what's going to take place. He did not want me to get glasses because he said your eyes are going to be changing so much, it just really would be not worth the time, not worth the effort. And so I would ask you to pray for that. Frustrating at times. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, now you all know the Ten Commandments there in Exodus, am I right? I dare say that the great majority of you would be able to stand up and quote the Ten Commandments. But here I found out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 that there are some more commandments. Now, these commandments that are given here, and actually I found there's 22 of them. All right, 22 commandments, and hopefully I will be able to get finished. We'll just have to almost name them and go on. But I think these certainly will be a blessing to you. Now, these commandments, they are practical ones. They are where the rubber meets the road. It's just our everyday life and our living. And so I hope that will be a blessing to you. So here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want us to look at the first one. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our time together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of just being here this morning. It's always a great pleasure and joy for me to be here at Open Door. Dr. Weigel is such a good friend and just a blessing to our school. I cannot express to you and to these wonderful people in front of me what a blessing Dr. Weigel is. But I pray now that you'll speak to our hearts and to our lives, and we would ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the first one that I want us to look at is found there in verse 11, and it's simply, as we look at it here in verse 11, and I'm at the right place, and it just simply tells us this: wherefore, comfort yourselves together. That's the first commandment. We're to comfort ourselves. Comfort ourselves together. That word comfort there, I think we could put in the word of encouragement. Encouragement. To encourage one another. I don't believe that there's one here in this audience this morning that does not need encouragement. Every one of us needs encouragement. And certainly our leaders of the church. Certainly, they need encouragement. So we are to comfort one another, to comfort one another. And then the second one is found there in verse 11 as well. And it says that we are to edify one another, edify one another. We're to build one another up, not to tear one another down, but we are to build one another up, to edify one another. So here in verse 11, it's telling us that we're to comfort one another, and then that we are to edify one another. And then in verse 12, it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you." I've just put the word there to know them, to recognize them. How important it is. Those, Dr. Weigel, as he stands here week after week and proclaiming the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, to recognize them for the work that they do and for the labor that they do. Oh, it's not laboring with hands. He's not out there digging. But I tell you what he is doing. He is digging in the Word of God, is he not? He's getting the meat of the Word of God, giving us the truths and the nuggets of the Word of God. And so we are to know them. We are to know them. And then also there in verse 13, it tells us this. Look at verse 13 there of your Bible. And it says, and to esteem them very highly, to esteem them very highly, to esteem them, to just let them know how important that they are. to not set them up on a pedestal. We're not talking about that. But to realize that they are very important. They are very important indeed. So to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake and for that which that they do. Then also in verse 13, I see another one there. And to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake and to be at peace among themselves. To be at peace. That word peace is talking about here, not quarreling with one another, not fighting with one another, to be at peace one another. How wonderful it is it not, to be at peace with one another, to be at peace with our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be at peace and to, as we're going to see down here later, that we are to love them indeed. And so here in verse 13, to esteem them highly for their work and for their labor. And then here also, not only that, but the fact that we are to be at peace with one another as well. And then you'll see at verse 14, there's another one. Verse 14, and now we exhort you, brethren, notice this, warn them that are unruly. Warn them that are unruly. That word unruly is an interesting word, and it means out of step. I wonder, anyone in here was in the service? Okay, one, two, okay. We have a lady, she works with Miss Tootie in our kitchen. And she was a sergeant in the Army. And you can tell, I mean, she was a sergeant in the Army because when she tells you to do something, you know you'd better do it. But anyway, this word unruly, it means out of step. You learned in the Army, all the other services as well, you learn how to march. Am I right, Jerry? And you learned how to march correctly. Am I right? You practice that until you knew how to march correctly. This word here, unruly, it means out of step. Out of step. And so we Christians, we have the obligation to warn them that are out of step. To help them that are out of step. Now, that doesn't mean that that we would warn them, you know, in such a way that we are offending them, that we are bringing them down. No, not that. But we are certainly to warn them that are out of step. You know why? Because we want them to get back in step again. What does it tell us there? And is it Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1, where that if someone has been overtaken in a fall, what are we to do? We are to help them. We are to bring them back as well. Well, let's look at another here in verse 14. It has this phrase, and it says, comfort the feeble-minded. Okay, comfort the feeble-minded. Comfort the feeble-minded. Now, that word feeble-minded has no reference at all to a mental problem, okay? Has no reference at all to a mental problem. But the feeble-minded here is the faint-hearted, the faint-hearted, the timid-hearted. And we are to help them. We are to comfort them in their lives. And then there in verse 14 as well, it says that we are to support the weak. We are to support the weak. Now, it's talking about babes in Christ. Now, do we expect new Christians to act just like a Christian that's been saved 20 years, 40 years? No. We don't expect that. And so we are to support the weak. We are to help the weak, those new babes in Christ. They are to grow and to mature and develop in the Lord, just like these beautiful children sitting over to my right. I'm not saying to my left, but over to my right. These beautiful children, do you know what? They were once little babies at one time. And they what? They learned to crawl. Am I right? Then they learned to walk. They learned to talk. They learned to behave. And that was, I think that's because of mom and dad. But here it's telling us as a believer that we are to support those babes in Christ. We are to help them crawl, okay? We are to help them walk. We're to help them talk. We're to help them do all of those things. Well, let's continue, all right? We find there in verse 14, it tells us that we're to be patient towards all men. And verse 14, to be patient, notice the last phrase, be patient towards all men. If I would ask you the question, how many of you, and me included, how many of us are really, truly, as we use the word here, patient? I would not ask you to raise your hands, okay? Jerry is, I mean, shaking his head so big that I can see it. I mean, back and forth, I can see it. But you know what? The truth is that we need to learn to be patient. We need to learn to be patient towards one another. It's so important. In church, I pastored for 38 years. And being a pastor, you have to learn to be patient. You know that? Because people sometimes are not going to do everything that you want them to do or exactly how that you want them to do. And so we have to learn to be patient towards one another. So very important. And then in verse 15, we have another commandment here. And it tells us this, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. We're not to render evil unto any man. We're not to do that. But our tendency is, am I right? You know, you get on 465 or other places. Believe me, 465 is easy to drive on compared to L.A., compared to New York, compared to Atlanta, okay? But how many, you know, times has someone, you know, pull right in front of you? I mean, pull right in front of you. And you know what? Our tendency to do is to pull around and pull right in front of them and slow down a little bit. Am I right? Our tendency is to do evil unto those that have done evil unto us. We're not to do that. That we're not to render evil for evil. Someone says something not very kind about you. What do? Well, we go on. We go on. The best thing to do, you know what, is to pray for that person. Am I right? To pray for that person, that the Lord would help them in their life. Well, let me give you another one here. And there in verse 15 as well. And the Bible tells us that we're to ever follow that which is good. Follow that which is good. Well, let me ask you this. Who is our great example? Well, certainly our pastor is a good example, but not the greatest example. Our Lord is the greatest example, is he not? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to follow him. We ought to follow the truth of the Word of God, the writings of the Word of God. We certainly are to do just that. I think another great example in the Bible, other than our Lord Jesus Christ, and I like this man, Barnabas. Don't you like Barnabas? The Bible describes Barnabas as a good man. I often thought, and I tell my wife, on our tombstone, wouldn't that be such a great statement to be made of an individual that he was what? A good man. Yeah, a good man. And so we're to follow that which is good. And then in verse 16, we see something, of course, that we read very often. It says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Rejoicing. Rejoice. Do we have a lot to be rejoiced about? Now, I tell people this. You know what? If you cannot find anything to rejoice about, if you cannot find anything at all, get back into the book. And when you get back into the book, you're going to find things that you can rejoice about. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like a sourpuss. You know what I'm talking about? Kids, you know what I'm saying? I don't. Mommy may have to tell them there, okay? A sourpuss. You know, I just, you know, when somebody's like that, you just want to go home, take a shower, get all cleaned off, and start all over again. But we're to rejoice in the Lord. There's so many people, if they're not careful, they can be negative in what they do. They want to be negative. I don't like a negative person either. I tell my wife, there is two words that I don't ever want her to say, and that those two words are, I can't. Now, my wife can do just about anything. She's a wonderful artist. I mean, plays the piano and the organ, she loves outside work. She built a patio. I didn't do it. She did it all by herself. And sometimes she'll say, oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. We don't need to be negative in the Lord. The Bible tells us what? We can do all things through whom? Christ Jesus. Yeah, Christ Jesus. Well, let me give you another one here found in verse 17 as well. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Do you realize that I am to be in the attitude of prayer all the time? I'm to be in the attitude of prayer. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to be down here at the altar praying. The truth is, I can pray in my car. Am I right? Yeah. Now, I like cutting grass about the first 2 months of it. And then after a while, it gets work, you know. But I can't wait, you know. I looked at my lawnmower yesterday. I thought, man, I'm going to start this thing up again. It's going to be ready to cut in grass here pretty soon. But you know what? You can pray while you're cutting grass. We have 3.5 acres out in the middle, Dr. Koch, of 127 acres. And so we have about less the house and one other little section that we don't cut, about 2 acres that we cut. Now, it takes about an hour and 45 minutes. I finally got one of those zero turn. Boy, unbelievable how quick that you can cut your yard. I have not yet got Shirley to do that. I don't know why. She said, I'm not going to cut the grass. I'm not going to do it. Well, she has not done it as yet. I do it. But you know what? I can pray cutting their grass. You have about an hour and 50 minutes or so. You can pray cutting the grass. I am to be in the attitude of prayer all the time. All the time. The attitude of prayer all the time, and how important prayer is. And then I see another one found there in verse 18. And it just simply says this in verse 18. Just giving thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Under all circumstances, give thanks. Well, do we realize that the Lord is in control of every part of our life and everything that comes into our life, that He does those things always for our good, no matter what? You know, I had the COVID. Most of you know that. For 7 days, I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know anything. Well, somebody said maybe that's because of the COVID was maybe related to the eyes. I don't know. But you know what? This aspect of giving thanks. Regardless, whatever we go through, God knows. As you go into enter into the downstairs on the lower floor of our college, right there over the platform, it has a sign. You know what it says? Anybody remember? God reigns. God reigns. And I believe that with all of my heart, that God does reign, that we certainly are to give thanks under all circumstances. And then there's another one found in verse 19. It says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Now, time would not allude this morning to go into a doctrinal statement on the Holy Spirit, because you realize at the moment that you got saved that the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, comes in and dwells into our heart and into our life. Now, realize that the Holy Spirit here is spoken of as a fire. Now, how do you quench a fire? Does anyone like going camping? Does anyone like to go camping? Okay. Now, when we lived in Moab, Utah for some 10 years. Pastored out there. Started a church out there. We would go up about 14,000 feet, and we would camp. Now, I found out, you know, back then, tents, I mean, they came with parts like A to A, B to B, C to C. I was never good at that. And we had a dog named Zach. And Zach and I would go get the wood. We let Shirley put up the tent. We always did that. That was the best way, because I'd still been there today trying to put a tent up together. But anyway, you know, you build a fire. You have to put that fire out, and you put water. You dampen the fire. You dampen the fire. Now, how, as a believer, how do we quench the Holy Spirit of God within us? And that here it is. We dampen Him, the Holy Spirit, by not listening to Him, by not obeying what the Holy Spirit of God wants and desires into our life. And so the Holy Spirit, we need not quench the Holy Spirit. There's another verse in the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. We need not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? I can grieve this. I can hit it as much as I want to. I could go kick that. I'm not doing anything. But you know what? We can grieve individuals, am I right? We can grieve one another. And so if that's possible, how much more is it possible for us to grieve the very Spirit of God that lives within us? And so we're not quenched the Holy Spirit. And then notice also there in verse 20, it tells us this, despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. I think to bring this down very quickly is the fact that here we are studying the Word of God. We're breaking down this some 10 or 11 verses and trying to get all the meat out of that. We're not to despise that. We're not to despise Sunday school. Oh, there's not 200 of us here, but that doesn't make any difference. Here, it doesn't make any difference whether there's 5 or 10 or 20 or however there may be. We're not to despise prophesying. And then I see something else here in verse 21. It says, prove all things. Okay? prove all things. Prove all things. Today in our society, there's so much untruth that's been giving out. Now, I'm not an opponent for someone to listen to so-called Christian radio 24/7. Because you listen to everything. Now, for 38 years, I had a radio program. I didn't put it on a Christian station. I put it on a country music station right at 12 o'clock noon, only 5 minutes, because I didn't want people to turn me off. And so, as I think about this aspect of the Word of God, we are to prove all things. There's so much untruth that is out there. Christian TV the same way, is it not? I mean, you listen to the gentleman down, where is he, in Atlanta? No, not Atlanta. Yeah, in Atlanta too, one of them. The guy that's always smiling. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I will not use his name. But I would not want to offend someone. But the truth is, there's so much untruth that's out there. And here, you know what? We are to approve all things. We're to take the Word of God. We're to take the Word of God and make sure that we approve all things. And then I know something else here. It says in verse 22 that we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay? We are to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, there's so much evil out there, am I right? So we are to abstain from that, young people. And we that are a little bit older, we are to abstain. We're to put that aside. We're not to have that part of our life. And then in verse 24, it says this, "Faithful is he that calleth you." Faithful. Aren't you glad that we have one that's faithful? Aren't you glad that we have one that our Christ, our Lord, is always faithful, never letting us down, never letting us down. And I think about that, how that we ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful as a Christian and faithful to people, our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're getting down to the end. I see in verse 25, it tells us this, "Brethren, pray for us." You know what Paul said? Pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for us. And so, as a church, pray for Dr. Weigel. Pray for Dr. Weigel. But not only that, let's pray for each other. Yes, I noticed today, in every church that I go to, you'll find that there's always prayer requests. And so there's so much prayer that we need to have for one another. Pray for us. And then in verse 26, it says this, "Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss." Now, I wasn't greeted with a holy kiss this morning. No one came up and greeted me with a holy kiss. Well, I think, let me give you the Halcombe interpretation of this, okay? But even before that, when we were out in Moab, we had a geologist. I was a member of our church. He was from New York. And he was older than I was, okay? He was probably 25, 30 years older than me. And he liked me. And so when he'd leave, he'd give me a peck on the cheek. Now, I know you're probably thinking, wow, you know, did that offend me? No. No, not one old, not one bite, not one bit. In fact, we had some older ladies as long as I pastored. And I'd want to use the word little old ladies. I got in trouble one time saying that. It's elderly ladies. That's better. You think that's better? Elderly ladies, okay? They walk out. Shirley and I would be at the front shaking hands of people that wanted to go out that door. And they'd come up and they'd give me a little peck on the cheek. That was all right. That was no problem. But here, let me give you the Halcombe interpretation of this, okay? Let's greet one another with a handshake. You like that, huh? Jerry, you want me to come and kiss you on the cheek? He doesn't think so. He doesn't think so. So let's greet one another with a holy kiss. There should be warm greetings. You know, I notice I love to come to church early, and I like to watch as people come in and as they greet one another. I noticed there was some hugging going along this morning. Yeah, I saw that. I saw it, but, you know, we're to greet one another, and we're to have that expressions of love one towards another. So greet the brethren with a holy kiss, or with a halcom interpretation, with a warm handshake. And then the last one, number 22, 22 commandments that are given here out of 1 Thessalonians to these believers at Thessalonica. These commandments given to this church at Thessalonica. Do you realize that Paul was only there for 3 weeks? 3 short weeks Paul was there. And what he taught Paul, I don't know, but have you read 1 Thessalonians lately? Have you read even about, in chapter 4, the fact that we are going to be raptured. We're going to be taken out. And so for 3 weeks, now I don't know whether they met from 9 in the morning to 9 at night. I doubt that. I'm sure that they probably met of the evening. And Paul certainly just dwelt and teaching them the word of God. And then in verse 27, it says, I charge you, I command you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Read the book. I think I can expand this not only to 1 Thessalonians, but we are to read the book. We're to read the Bible. So here we have, and this portion of Scripture, 22 commandments that Paul gave to this church. And you know what? I don't think they're bad commandments, do you? I think they're pretty good commandments that we are to follow. Well, that will conclude the Sunday school lesson. Jerry, am I to turn it back over to you? Or am I to pray? I am to pray, and then we'll have about, 15-minute break. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God and how important the Word of God is to us. I pray now, Father, these are all practical, not profound indeed, but Father, they're just right where the rubber meets the road, where that in our Christian walk and our Christian life, the way that we are to live. Thank you for each one that is gathered here this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.